jeez. And I still haven't found a place for this garage door opener that isn't in the center console, which is now full of iPod charging wires that pop out every time I open it up, and it's just a hassle. This thing is, alright, bend this here. Nope, that's not going to close right, because it's right on the latch, and just kind of feed that cable this way. Well, that's passable. Kind of the problem with leaving a little earlier than normal is that these main roads have a lot more cars on them, but I left early enough to where it's not people trying to get to school. It's the school that's nearby. I don't think they'd get in for another 10 minutes, so... Oh, wait, no, there's a ton of people. Oh, turn in here. Emergency fucking detour here. Yeah. Because that intersection was jammed up. Left here to get back on track. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was probably faster. Who knows? Exciting news today. We are going to the gas station. And I'm going to get gas. Okay. Yeah. I stopped first. I could get to the office with the amount of gas I have, but not home. And I'm pretty sure gas in San Francisco is more expensive than it is here, so... I guess I'll just get it now. Plus, I need to get a drink anyway, so... So I pretty much have to stop. Star Jammer. It's a little star. In California, I don't know if other states do this, but you can put garbage on your license plate. Like a little hand or a heart or a star. Alright, I'm gonna go pump gas. So, hang out. I gotta reorganize here based on having this drink, so I can't put my phone in this drink holder. Put it in this other drink holder. Oh, what a mess. Okay. Fucking lottery tickets, man. They shouldn't. They take forever to sell. And I think it's just because people fucking can't. Like people are buying other stuff and then they see under glass at the counter at the gas station, like, whoa, look at all these lottery tickets. And like, I'll take two of these and three of these and one of those. Like, fuck, come on. And then the guy wanted lotto tickets, too, which are like the, you know, pick numbers stuff, not the scratchers. So, got to go over to the machine and verify, like, oh, it's going to be $10. Are you sure you want? And fuck. I'm just trying to buy a drink here, man. And then finally, after that transaction was, like, taking, like, forever, the person opened, the other cashier opened up their stand. Just like, ah, come over here, pay over here. So. Glanced over at the chat and it looks like, what, Verizon's buying AOL? Really? I saw someone talking about AOL in a, like, a, oh, geez, sort of way, but what? I'm trying to think what AOL has that a Verizon would want. video ad space. So they're just like buying the inventory to then put ads on. Is that something Verizon needs? I don't know. Whatever. I wonder if there are people at AOL still that have been there since, you know, it was independent or you know, just AOL or whatever, before the Time Warner deal, before, like, I wonder if there are people that have been there for that entire ride and seen it through. There's a curse involved in that. Like, that's not necessarily, like, a... Like, that length of time, like, knowing all that stuff, it seems like the sort of thing that would just drive you crazy. As someone who was at GameSpot when it was independent, and then we got bought by Ziff, and then Ziff got bought by... Or half of Ziff got bought by CNET. And then I was not there for a little while. And then, in the interim, the company got bought by CBS. Like, it's like coming back in and saying, and like having this, like, this thing where you see people kind of doing stuff and you're like, no, we did that before. It's not, doesn't, here, I can tell you why this doesn't work, but you're not going to listen to it. Go ahead. No, go ahead. I just imagine there must be someone at AOL that's like that times 100. That likes to tell stories like, back when You've Got Mail meant something, man. We were a movie. Any interest in Mad Max? The game or the movie? I guess so. Yeah, sure. Maybe. I don't know. I've never been, like, a huge fan of the movies. They're neat, but I'm not, like, you know, I'm not, like, a disciple or whatever when it comes to that stuff. I don't know. That's the thing, is, you know, like, there were some people that said, like, oh, it's really, you know, it's really appropriate, the movie is really, like, you know, good for fans of the original. It's like, that's all stuff that's going to be mostly lost on me. Like, I've seen I saw the first two anyway. I don't know if they made three, right? I don't even remember. But, like, I saw them, like, once or twice, like, years and years and years ago, so it's, like, other than the notion of driving a tanker and who is going to drive that tanker, that's really about it. That's about all I remember about that franchise. So I don't know. I don't really get out to the movies very often. It's not like a huge priority for me. So it's like, I saw Furious 7, and that's maybe the first movie I've seen in theaters since Pacific Rim, maybe?
had a specific rim, or there was a... Yeah. I think that was it. I don't know. Pacific Rim is okay. But at this point, yeah, you know, I don't have any value. I don't really put any value into the theater experience. And like, I have friends that are like super into that, and they work in the movie theater. You know, they've like a bunch of us kind of grew up around the local movie theater. Kind of, I delivered movies for a while from a film depot to the theaters in that local chain. Like, I had a friend who managed one of the theaters. You know, so it's like, a couple of them are still, like, way into it, and, like, going around taking pictures of theaters that have been converted into supermarkets, or, you know, like, all this other shit that's out there. But, I don't know, like, movie theaters just seem like a fucking hassle. Like, you pay a premium to go see a movie with a bunch of other people, and that sucks, usually. And... if it's a big movie that a lot of people are seeing, then you end up with shit seats. It's the secret trick about, one weird trick about going to the movies, the movie chain operators hate him, is that D-box seats are reserved, and they're placed like right in the middle of the theater. So because my local movie theater got suckered into getting D-box seats, that's a surefire way to get good seats, because no one ever fucking sees D-box stuff. Though you have to pay slightly more for the D-box experience. Though that's, you know, at that point, the shaking seats take it above and beyond in a way that, you know, is at least a new level of dumb that I can appreciate. So like, there's that, but, like, sometimes it seems like the first run movie market only exists to, like, stave off piracy a little bit and make some money there. Like, hey, let's get this movie released in China and have, you know, maybe people pay to see it a little bit before it ends up on Blu-ray and ends up being, you know, pirated all over the place and all that stuff. Like, you know, it just seems like the process sucks to, you know, for them to be able to protect some of their profit centers or whatever it is, right? It's like the worst kind of DRM. Is the PS4 version of Witcher 3 broken? I don't know if to buy it or not. I don't know. The actual answer is I don't know, because like we don't have retail. They didn't send out retail discs. They sent out debug discs that supposedly had the day one patch rolled into it already. And I don't know. It crashed on me twice in the first hour, and at that point it was like, well, I don't really have time to deal with this right now, so we're gonna pass on this version and we'll do something with the PC version when that's available. Have Vinny take a look at it. Like, I just didn't have time to kind of sort through that stuff. The answer is probably not. But I don't know, because I didn't play a lot of it. Like, it crashed on me twice, and then at that point I was like, okay, I'm probably just going to not mess with this, and then fooled around with it for another hour or two, and I was like, okay, I'm going to not. I don't trust this version of the game enough to even, like, mess with it. So probably not. You know, like at that point, it was like just not the best way for me to be spending my time. Like, there's a billion other things that I'm kind of taking care of, so kind of backed away from that. So I don't know. I'm gonna say probably not, but I don't know. You know, that's the. I will say it is a little strange that they don't have PS or PC versions of the game to send out yet. Like, that's the thing where I'm like, what? What? I'm like, okay, what? All right. Weird, but okay, because that's the version that's, like, the most under their control patch-wise and all this other stuff, and, like, I would have expected that to be the version that they would send out in the first place, but they led with PS4, I guess. They wouldn't send out Xbox One early copies because no one has a debug, no one has a way to run that stuff off a disk. The early review process for Microsoft stuff does exist, so I would have thought maybe they would have had digital codes or something, but who knows. Like, they just sent out an email yesterday saying, hey, there's a scaler in the Xbox One version, it's going to be 1080p, here's a video. So, like, clearly there's a bunch of last-minute work going on some of that stuff, but yeah, take what I'm saying with a grain of salt. I didn't play that much of it, and the version I played is maybe not the version that will end up in your hands when the game comes out in a week. So, like, maybe other reviewers didn't have trouble. I definitely heard about some cases where people were running into problems that they were unsure about, but didn't seem to affect review scores. So, I don't really know. I was kind of hoping that the game would grab me. It seemed like that they made a lot of smart changes to kind of make the game a little more accessible and stuff like that compared to, like I played Witcher 2. Well, whatever. We talk about this stuff on the podcast today. You should listen to that if you want to hear Witcher talk. I played Witcher 2 before it had a tutorial and all that sort of stuff that they ended up putting in later. Oh, the review saying it had frame rate issues. Yeah, the PS4 version, like, on a technical level, didn't seem, like, that impressive. I thought, like, some of the animation, some of the cutscenes early on the game just seems a little janky. Like, character movement, turning radius, and just, like, the feel of it never clicked with me in those early parts of the game. And then, like, just some of the movement and some of their cutscene movement and stuff looked a little weird. I don't know. Like I said, didn't really play that much of it. There are plenty of takes out there from people that exhaustively played through all of it or whatever that are, available to you should you want that. Am I ready to jack into CD Projekt's Cyberpunk future? That's a good set. That's a setting that I appreciate and hope that they do something cool with it. But if it's The Witcher 3 set in Cyberpunk territory, I don't know. Wait and see on that one, I guess. You know what? We need a new flippin' Fallout. It's like E3 is, 5 weeks away? Just hold your horses. They're going to announce that. Well, I'm stuck in traffic. And I've been, like, really plowing through this, this can of Rockstar recovery at such a clip that if the traffic holds up, I will have to go to the bathroom before the traffic has let up, and we'll see some serious shit. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. Like, we talk a little bit about the Witcher stuff on the podcast and the Igarashi stuff, too. Brad is probably already working on the podcast or will be shortly. I guess it's kind of early for anyone to actually be working, but... sending Brad to the International. No, Brad, when Brad goes to the International, he goes on his own specifically so he doesn't have to, like, spend it working. Like, he goes to hang out with friends and Dota it up. Instead of, like, having to go, like, oh, maybe I should try to get some interviews, maybe. And it's like, no, just, if you go and you happen to feel like, hey, I'm going to record an interview for the site, then do it, but I'm not going to pay for his way and then, like, tie him down with a bunch of coverage work. Like, that's, I'd much rather have his natural story on the podcast about going and hanging out if he does decide to go. So that's, like, on him, if he wants to do that. And that'd be the same deal for, like, you know, Evo or something like that. Like, I don't want to, you know... Like, if I were to go to Evo, it would be to hang out. And, like, find the seedy underbelly of Evo for my own personal satisfaction. Not like, we're going to cover this. Like, I want to go find people... Like, see if there are people playing Jackie Chan... money matches in a hotel room at 4 a.m. Like, you know, that's the sort of stuff that I've certainly heard people say in relation to Evo, that, like, that kind of weird shit, and that's the only thing I'm interested about at Evo. Like, main stage games and watching people play Street Fighter really well, like, that's cool, but I can do that from home. Like, that's, I don't need to go to watch that shit. Like, going and having a good time with, you know, some friends who go, like, that's the attraction at Evo for me, so, but I, who knows if we'll even make it this year to Evo. Probably not. Oh, the Assassin, now they're revealing it. Guess what, guys, there's going to be a new Assassin's Creed. This is also the Assassin's Creed reveal stream. I'm proud to reveal... there will be a new chapter in the Assassin's Creed series. I know. There will be another one. Like, this is actually... I'm sorry. I should have actually specified. This is the reveal stream for not this year's Assassin's Creed. This is for... 2016 and 2017. I'm proud to announce there will be... Assassin's Creed games released in 2016 and 2017. Yes, you've heard it here first. And you're in luck. This is also the John Madden's footballs reveal stream. I'm proud to announce that Madden... NFL 17 is planned for release in August of 2016. Yeah, I know, it's a pretty big deal. It's a pretty big deal. And while we're announcing things here, I'm proud to announce that Windjammers reboot still not happening. Still dead. proud to announce that 101 South is clogged up with cars right now. And that I'm going 15 miles an hour. I hope there's some cool stuff at E3. It's, you know, I don't know yet. It's the sort of thing where, like, there are little bits and pieces and, you know, some games that have been announced that you presume will be there in some form, like Tony Hawk or, and, you know, Guitar Hero will probably be there, but I played Guitar Hero a while ago. You know, one would presume that the next Skylanders game would show up, and, you know, can you tell I'm just, like, running through lists by company here? Just like, okay, well, what would Activision have? Like, okay. Well, they would probably have Black Ops, Skylanders, Tony Hawk, Guitar Hero. Wonder if they'd have anything else. I bet not. Think Sony will actually announce something. One would fucking hope, right? It's like, what does Sony first party have in development right now that is announced and, like, up and running? It's like Shadow of the Beast. That God of War anniversary thing. Whatever happened to Planet Side 2? It's in closed beta. I have it. And it doesn't run great. I mean, whatever. It's closed beta. Like, it's one of the things where you look at it and go, wow, I hope they didn't, like, I hope they made everyone download low resolution textures to save space on the download for this closed beta, because they're just testing networking or whatever, because, boy. Woof. Woof. I kind of hope that they have their rollout of Sony's TV service in more than just Philly and New York or wherever, Chicago, what, the three cities it's in. Is it New York, Philly, and Chicago? I think that thing has the channels that I would want in a way where I would feel okay about absolutely canceling DirecTV. Which is, like, a weird thing to think about in terms of E3, obviously. Like, who gives a shit about TV services and bullshit? Someone's gonna get up on stage and say, Powers is coming back for a second season! And two people are gonna go, yay! Actually, I have no idea what the consensus on Powers is. I just saw them talking about how it's available, and was like, well, that doesn't look like anything I would ever want to watch. Okay, great. Like, it's the sad tragedy about where I am with television right now is that, like, I just need to get USA because that's where the wrestling is. And I'm not even watching wrestling right now, so, like, I shouldn't care about that even. But, you know, we have done a wrestling podcast for a spell here. And it helps to be able to watch the largest form of wrestling for the purposes of that podcast. And the weekly shows don't air on the WWE's own network in a timely fashion. So you need to have USA and the WWE network, which is dumb. But, I don't know. I just don't care about I don't really care about television in a, like, it's much like movies. Like, I have zero interest in being timely. with the vast majority of television. So, like, my girlfriend finally kind of sat me down and kind of made me watch the IT Crowd. And I'm about a season and a half through that. And it's like, oh, this is pretty good. Yeah, that's cool. Like, it's not, like, I'm not looking to have current conversations about, oh, did you see what happened on last night's, blah, blah. I have that now with Dan about wrestling, where he says, did you watch Raw? And I say, no. And he says, did you hear about this thing? And I go, oh, that sounds dumb. And he says, yeah. And then that's that. But, like, yeah, it's... My girlfriend actually likes Game of Thrones, so I've caught a little bit of that for the first time ever, as she will watch it on Sunday nights, usually an hour or two after it's, like, on. So, like, sometimes I'll turn around and go, oh, that guy's on fire. There's some boobs. But that whole thing is very much not up my alley. So, yeah, I don't really care about that stuff. Though now I know where the guy from Destiny is from. It gave me that context of just like, oh, that's the voice guy from Destiny. Okay, I guess I see why people would think that that was a big deal. Turn on the air conditioning. It's a little warm out here. Best version of Outrun? I don't know. I mean, Outrun is the best version of Outrun, right? I mean, the best version of Outrun is just kind of listening to Magical Sound Shower. Speed up a little bit, about 40 miles an hour now, but usually, I don't know, this traffic could probably go for another 4 or 5 miles and then hopefully clear up, usually where most people get off. I'm more or less near the exit you would take to get to Skywalker Ranch. Like where, like, ILM used to be or whatever in Marin before they moved into San Francisco. Looks like we were going to get back up to speed there for a sec, but here I am, behind this beat-up van, doing about 8. Fuck. We should get up the hill here, and then that should be where it clears up, hopefully. Past the Marin Civic Center, which is where the Pacific Pinball Expo is every year. It's like a good counterpart to California Extreme, which has a lot of pinball, but also a lot of, like, you know, video games. I haven't gone. I've only went to the Pinball Expo once. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll go this year. The Pinball Expo has a lot of, like, super fucking old pinball machines. Where most of that stuff doesn't show up at California Extreme. It's more kind of 70s, 80s, 90s. And then, you know, like, some of the new stuff will show up there, like... Last time I went to California Extreme, like, the Tron machine had just come out. They had one of those. With, like, a video camera suspended above the game. It was then spitting out to a big TV sitting on top of the machine. So people could watch it. It was a really disorienting way to watch pinball. Like, to look at, like, a video feed of the play field. Like, it just didn't look natural. The angles on it and everything. It was like, what am I even looking at? And, like, It's just hard to follow. It's weird. Merge out of this lane so that I might drive through. Oh, wait, there's a car right in front of you. Damn it. Well, at least now we're moving at a decent speed. I find it interesting that Counter-Strike is almost never mentioned. Everyone, like, Counter-Strike is like a super fucking old game. You know, I mean, not that Dota isn't, but, I was kind of loosely into Counter-Strike Go for, like, a couple of days. I was like, but I don't like Counter-Strike. I never have. So even when I was playing CSGO, like I'm playing gun game or something with respawns, you know, like that type of round-based shooter is not for me. I'm there to play, not sit and watch. So Counter-Strike has always been not my thing. I'm just not super competitive when it comes to games. Like, it's nice to win, but I'm not like fucking ripping my shirt off and yelling esports or whatever. Gotta win, bro! And, like, people that act that way are not cool in my book, I guess. I don't know. It's probably whatever. There are a lot of reasons why I find MOBAs unappealing, but like, that seems like maybe one of the reasons that people get into it is that, you know, there is that kind of, like, thrill of victory thing that you get for winning, and I don't feel that when I come out on top in something. It's like, oh, cool, all right. So, the highs are not high enough to warrant that type of time investment, I guess. I like to have competitive matches, I guess. You know, like playing fighting games and getting blown out, like that's no fun because you're not really playing at some point. You're like just kind of, well, oh, just I am barely even able to act here because this person is so much better than I am. This is no longer fun. You know, having people that are, you know, you're kind of trading victories with or whatever, or they're kind of just, they're edging you out just barely, but, you know, you still feel like you got a shot. Like, that's the most fun. And at that point, it's not, like, I don't really care if I'm winning more or losing more, you know? Not that much, anyway. It's nice to win, right? But, eh. I guess that's probably, like, the big break, like, the big disconnect between, like, me and esports generally is people that get super fucking serious about winning at video games are often super lame. So, like, that attitude is just like, nah, fuck this. Say, like, you know, at least, like, the fighting game community seems to be wide enough and, you know, like, community-focused enough to where it's slightly less about the money, but increasingly it seems like that's, you know, the games that have the publishers dumping money into their pots are getting played more by people who want to win that money, so it seems like that's maybe changing a little bit, but, you know, I don't know. The pot bonus stuff is nice. Like, people should win. You know, it's nice if people can, like, win cool prizes for being good at video games, right? I mean, that's a neat thing. And it's, you know, it's stuff that, like, is competitive against, like, another person directly in a way that makes sense. Like, it's not like, remember there was a story about, like, this kid dropped out of school to focus on his Guitar Hero playing. Like, nope, fuck that. Stop ruining that kid's life with this flash-in-the-pan thing that is going to go away. Traveling at a good-ass speed, but we're also about to get into San Francisco, so it'll be actual city driving here, and around 9:15, that'll probably be slightly shittier than it is at 9:45, like I'm rolling a little earlier than normal. Thank you. But yeah, I'm like, I feel like I'm about 4 days away from thinking about E3 full time. Like, that's, we're having kind of our first, like, meeting about E3 coverage plan stuff today, where we'll kind of work out a couple of things about, like, okay, who are the guests we want to get on the show, and who should we be going after there, and what do we want to do with appointments on the show floor, because so often they are useless, but, you know, what do we want to do there, so we'll start working that stuff out, and then it all kind of starts falling into place after that. We have a location for the show to take place and all that stuff, so at some point it's just a matter of like, alright, what are the games that are going to be there? Who are the people that we want to talk to about those games? Do they fit into this weird nighttime show format, or are they just going to be there to pitch? Because we don't necessarily want people that are just going to show up and pitch a game and leave. Because that's just not our format. But for people that are just in full-on pitch mode, like, what do we want to do in those cases? Like, what's, you know, should we be shooting interviews? How should we present those interviews? And I think the actual answer is audio interviews, not video interviews, because no one ever has footage of their games at E3, or no one ever has enough footage of their games. And also, E3 is so hectic that you're kind of going from one thing to the next, so saying like, hey, video producers, sit down and cut this B-roll to this interview to make this interview look better, maybe not the best use of someone's time, so those are always the sorts of things we kind of go over and figure out, like, you know, what's going to be our way of doing E3. You know, we kind of last year started doing the thing of not going to press conferences. We're going to keep that up, which always feels a little weird because, you know, there's always companies contacting you like, hey, are you coming? You didn't RSVP. Like, yeah, no, we're broadcasting. We're locked down broadcasting during all of that stuff. And you have to balance that out. Because, like, you know, it's like when you turn stuff down, like, it's kind of the weird thing about what we do is we say no a lot, and it's the exact opposite. Like, everyone, I think, does now, because no one has the staff to say yes to everything the same way they used to 9 years ago. You know, companies sometimes get weirded out when you say, no, we're not coming to your event for this game that you think is the biggest thing in the world. Like, sometimes they will take it a little personally, and you have to go, no, I'm actually exceedingly interested in your product, but this event where you're not letting people take video is of extremely limited use to us. Like, what we would get out of it in terms of putting coverage on the site, like, you are holding this event because you want people to cover your game, but you're not holding it in a way that actually works for us, and that's okay. It doesn't mean don't invite us to anything ever again. Sometimes that message gets a little lost when you try to do stuff a little different. And I would have thought that the industry would have kind of come a little further on that stuff, but they have not. They have not. It is still the same struggle. Of like, no, dude, it's, no, this, no, I understand, this is a very big game. No, it's the, there's, yes. But that's not what we do. Like, come play a game for a day and a half for preview coverage, and you can't take video. Like, what? No. No, that's not, that's a bad use of everyone's time. Mixler and Periscope from E3, you know, but the problem you run into at E3 is that phone signal and stuff is so fucking rotten from the show floor. And there's no, like, permeating Wi-Fi there, that it can be really difficult to do that. But yeah, you might see me pop up here and there during E3, depending on how schedules work. Like, we have an area just off the show floor that has Wi-Fi and stuff like that. Just above the show floor, I guess I should say. The room where we shot some stuff there last year, I think. Anyway. The big room full of GameSpot people working on whatever it is they do. So, you know, we could get up there and maybe talk about games in the middle of the day or something like that if we got time. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Plan to use the dump truck more. Yeah, that's the idea. I mean, just kind of like going forward, that's, you know, I want to do more audio stuff, because that kind of actually helps solve some issues for us in terms of, like, the type of coverage we do, the type of coverage that people want out of us, and the type of access that we can get that, you know, like I said, like, there are plenty of opportunities where people are like, hey, we're bringing a guy around demoing a game, but you can't take any footage of our time anytime. So, you know, being able to be a little more freewheeling with audio recording and stuff like that, kind of then puts us in a situation where we can do something that doesn't require an hour's worth of video footage to do, like, a quick look sort of thing. And we can kind of actually have something that fits those sorts of situations. I think we'll still be really picky with it, because, you know, if it's just, like, any single person coming through town with a game, like, you know, that's not, especially if they're just going to pitch their game and leave, like, that's not that interesting. Like I said, but, you know, that's part of why we want our own podcast studios, so it's just sort of the thing where we can just walk in, sit down anytime, and record stuff. So that's kind of the longer-term plan over the course of the year, is to just get that stuff nailed down and be able to do more of that. We have portable recording gear and stuff that I'll probably bring to E3 and try to use here and there. Because you've seen interviews, you know, there's definitely, you've seen video interviews and stuff where it's just been like, here's people talking to microphones, colon, the video. And that stuff's not always the best way to do that stuff, so. Okay, I'm turning the air conditioning back on. It got warm again. Is Giant Bomb going to be covering TwitchCon? I don't think there's going to be anything to cover in terms of, like, game stuff. I mean, the game stuff will be covered by Twitch from their stage. Like, it seems like like, looking at that thing, it just looks like Twitch will run the same type of stage that it runs at PAX and stuff, where they bring in games, and, you know, it's like, Twitch is really weird, because it's like a super, it's not an editorial outlet, you know, so they were like, I think before the Amazon deal, they had like, they're like, what is it, 2K had a minority stake in Twitch, and 2K would just go directly to Twitch during E3, instead of having a booth on the floor and stuff like that. It's like, okay, well, you know, like, if the company mouthpiece is just going to kind of issue stuff on its own, then, you know, they're not going to have a booth on the show floor and all that other stuff. It's like, okay, well, we don't really have an opportunity to cover that sort of stuff at the show then, I guess, because they're just doing it directly on Twitch, which is fine. But yeah, I don't know. Like Twitch, you know, it's an inherently different thing when Twitch puts people on their stage. It's not to act in an editorial capacity, right? I mean, they're there to kind of super late night talk show it up and go like, so I understand you brought a clip, like that sort of thing, which it's a different type of coverage. I think there's a lot of YouTube stuff, like a lot of the, what is it, on the Igarashi thing, the Kickstarter, there's all like the, you know, if you back at this level, you can get your name in the credits under your YouTube partner tag. Like, we've partnered with these YouTube channels. And it's like, wait a minute, like, you partnered with a bunch of YouTube channels to announce your Kickstarter? Like, what? Like, that just struck me as kind of shady, I guess. But, like, I guess, well, whatever, they're out in the open about it, right? So, and a lot of those YouTube channels aren't necessarily editorial focused. Like, they're more entertainment-focused and stuff like that. Like, obviously, you know, it's like, they're super upfront about that, with that stuff. So I guess it's not a big deal. But it was like, reading it, it was like, what? And then you see the channels and go, oh, well, of course. Like, yeah, Mega 64, like, they do all sorts of stuff directly with publishers. And they're super cool about it. And they do, they're super open about it. There's a lot of stuff about the structure of that Igarashi Kickstarter that really rubbed me the wrong way. Like, all their, like, as soon as we get this many followers, like, you get this many social media achievements, and you get, it's like, what? Just take the money. Just fucking ask for money and take the goddamn money. What are you doing? It's always a little frustrating when the drive takes this long. I mean, it always takes a little longer when I leave earlier, but at the same time, like, it's already 9:30. Like, I left half an hour early, and I'll still get there in the range that I could have gotten there if I had left around my normal time. That's the sort of commuting that frustrates me. When it's like, it's an hour and change, whatever, it is what it is, you know, that's fine. Like, I'm prepared for that. When it goes above, like, the hour 20 mark, that's usually when I start to get a little antsy. I have Rocket by Herbie Hancock stuck in my head. Just putting that out there. I just hope that we don't get to E3 and get a bunch of game announcements for games that are 2016 games. I hope there's at least a few things that are like, and you can play it this holiday season, because it just feels like 2015 is empty. You know, the back half of the year feels like a big hole. And, you know, it's like, whatever, everyone was super slow to, like, get on board with the new consoles because they weren't sure if they were going to sell, so they didn't start greenlighting things and budgets and stuff until they realized, like, oh, wait, no, people still want consoles. Okay, we got to make games. Like, you know, they cranked up the game machine a little late. But I hope that they cranked it up a while ago and that there'll be some stuff coming out this year. Not that there's nothing coming out this year. I mean, I'm sure in terms of numbers, there'll be a ton of games, but tunnel's nice and clear. I'll say that much. The Broadway tunnel does not have a lot of action. Nintendo will have for the show. I mean, no Zelda, obviously no new next generation news. They already said they wouldn't talk about NX stuff until next year, so like, was it like yesterday or something, they got out and said, oh no, we're not talking about E3. It's like, yeah, no shit, you already said that. People keep not believing that, but hot punch-out rumor. Sure. That last one was cool. I hope Splatoon is good. I hope the full version is good. I didn't get to play the beta thing they did because it was like 3 scattered hours around the weekend. It's just like, I'm not, that's, none of those times work for me. I'm kind of doing other stuff. One of them was like between 4 and 5 in the morning. I'm like, yeah, great. But I don't, you know, like, I don't know. I played that at E3 last year and thought it was fucking rad. So, you know. People seem to come out of the weekend pretty high on it, so yeah, I don't know. Hopefully that'll end up cool. There's some people getting all up in arms about, like, voice chat stuff, which I guess, I don't know. I've come to realize that the last thing I want to do when playing video games is fucking voice chat with other people. Unless they are, like, the Nintendo method of, like, you can only chat with your friends. Turns out that made a whole lot of sense. Because the last thing I want to do, when, especially when playing, like, a fucking shooter, is talk to other people that are playing the shooter. Like, I'm not looking to coordinate with anyone. Like, obviously, for, you know, deeper games, that makes a lot of sense. You might want to coordinate. You might want to talk to other people and do that whole thing. But anytime I hear any microphone while I'm playing Call of Duty on PS4, it is some fucking kid with an open mic that is just... Or, you know, or someone playing with a kid screaming in the background. Or it's no one actually... It's just, it's someone in the lobby going, hey, 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 hello, hey, over and over again. Fuck that. That is a bad experience. Voice chat, I think, has been a net negative overall since it became a standard in video games on those consoles. And if you play with friends a bunch, then, you know, obviously that's a different story. You know, you're going to want to talk to those people. You may want to coordinate with them or whatever. But, like, just joining games and playing them? Fuck that. There was, like, that weird period of time where people were like, oh, you know, the console, it has to have a headset included. Otherwise, how are we gonna, like, no, who can, no, fuck that. It's functionality that should exist at a system level, honestly. Like, that's probably the actual right answer, is the party chat stuff and all that, you know, needs to exist. It you know, for people that want to use it. But when it comes to how, like, there are features that I look at and go, yeah, that should exist for people. And then I look at the way that I actually play games. And voice chat, as it turns out, has been, like, one of the least important features over the last decade or whatever. You know, a handful of games where you want it, but... The Destiny raid. I think that was probably the last time when... Which was, I will grant you, not that long ago. But that was the last time that voice chat felt like it was a crucial thing to something I was doing in a video game. And I can't remember what it was before that. But as someone who doesn't play a lot of video games with, like, people that I know, yeah, that's... I don't necessarily want games that require a lot of heavy coordination that isn't, like, inherently obvious to everyone playing the game itself, you know? I'm sure there are people of a certain age that are, you know, like, looking to make online friends and all that sort of stuff. And, like, hey, where you from, buddy? I saw word up, dog. I'm just hella shooting people in the face. And I'm like, whatever. Do I think there will be any Mass Effect news at E3? I do. I do think there will be Mass Effect news at E3. It just seems like the right time for it, right? I mean, they're coming off of Dragon Age, which seems like it did well for them. I don't know if it did well the way they wanted it to do well, or if it just did well, but... Yeah, I mean, they've already said they're working on something, right? So, seems like it'd be the time to show it. I think EA, like, as a company, like, you know, one would assume that they would have a bunch of shit to show, considering they had jack fuck last year. If they get out there and it's just like, hey, here's Battlefront, here's sports games, like, that'd be... Well, they had their earnings call, and they said that there was going to be a Need for Speed game this year. So, you could presume that that game would make an appearance in the E3 time frame. And they said Mirror's Edge would be, like, Q1 of next year, so maybe they would show that. I don't know if that's... I don't know what the overlap there is with, like, Battlefront and that. And then what else? There's got to be another Star Wars game, right? Battlefront doesn't have a campaign, and they brought Amy Hennig on to do something related to Star Wars. So there's probably another game there, like the Visceral was it? Did she end up in Visceral? I forget what it was, but so anyway, you would assume that that's a thing. There's whatever the Ghost of Criterion is doing with their crazy prototype thing that got showed last year. If that's still a running thing. I'm guessing that would probably be it. I mean, they'll probably have some kind of... Well, they teased some Plants vs. Zombies thing, or didn't tease it, but it was in the earnings call, I think. They said something about another Plants vs. Zombies thing, so maybe that would drop in at some point in that process. I don't know. But yeah, you would expect that EA would have to have something to show across the board to make up for how last year went for them. But, like, their earnings call sounded pretty positive. Like, they were like, hey, we're doing it. Making money. Fuck you guys. Anyway, I'm at the office. I gotta go. So, have a great Tuesday, I guess. I'll see you later.